live from New York City. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Wednesday already. Good morning, everyone. How you doing on the 13th of June?
Oh, really? Already?
2018. Yes. Here we go. Almost the middle of the month already as we charge towards July 4th weekend. And I guess the weather's going to get really good. Today's not going to be a great day, but there's some great days lined up behind us.
So. Of course there are, because peace is coming our way, Len. Have they gotten rid of the nuke shed in North Korea?
Let me ask you a question. We've had 24 hours, so my question to you, Michael Riedel. First of all, good morning. How are you? Everything okay?
I'm fine. Good morning to you, Len.
Good morning. The question to you is, was this a huge success? The summit in Singapore, or was it just, eh?
It was a huge success. It was historic. And now we have to follow up on it. Now we have to work out the details. But the president of the United States got along with one of America's implacable foes all these
implacable?
Years.
Implacable? You're going to use vocabulary words like implacable?
I will explain what it means.
I floss. Come on. If you're a floss, don't you get rid of that implacable?
If you're implacable, you have to go right to the dentist. To the dentist.
God.
Kim Jong-un, we will see if he is willing to deal. Now, we already have the left. We have the Democrats. We have the New York Times, which is always for peace, suddenly saying, well, Trump has legitimized this brutal, terrible, awful dictator. You got Chuck Schumer running around, running down Trump and running down the deal.
President Trump seems to have given away two or three of the major things that Kim Jong-un wanted. A meeting, the flags next to each other, now no delay of exercises with South Korea without getting anything in return.
Oh, please.
The danger to America is ever present.
Oh, give me a break. Oh, he gave him what he wanted. He made this huge concession, Len. He actually allowed the North Korean flag to be next to the American flag. Oh, my God. Can you believe what a terrible thing to have done?
Well, he did do a couple of things. Now, you can't defend this. First of all, he said that Kim loves his people and his people love Kim. Really? You believe that one, Mr. Implacable?
If they don't love him, they'll be killed.
Well, sure.
So they have
and he
to love
loves
him.
His people. Let him eat dirt. He loves them. Kim loves. And also, the bit with the war exercises, that was the only concession that came up. First of all, it was a surprise to South Korea and Japan. And second of all, he was using Kim's terminology. He was saying, well, it's
provocative.
War exercises.
Look,
if
you're going to begin negotiations to have a deal to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, what's the problem with suspending military exercises? They are indeed provocative. North Korea would see them as for what they're meant to be, saying if you mess around, we can blow you up. The threat is still there. If this doesn't work out, you think the United States is going to fold and North Korea is going to send a missile our way to San Francisco? If Kim Jong-un is not willing to deal, if he goes back on anything that he promises, if it doesn't work out, we got plenty of aircraft characters. We can ring North Korea with them and we can bomb them. Aircraft carriers.
Oh, carriers. Okay. Our big three stories as we just get rolling on a Wednesday. The president is now back home. He touched down within the hour. Reaction is pouring into the Singapore summit. Was it a big step forward or a big nothing burger? You decide. Also in the big three, that Uber driver who kicked out the kissing lesbians got his license suspended.
He did, yeah. In this city, you boot a couple of lesbians from your back seat, you're going to be in trouble.
But kissing lesbians in Uber, can you have that in America in 2018? Oh, my goodness.
Well, the lesbians, Alex Iovine and Emily Pickle, we call her Pickle because I guess...
And we don't know how to pronounce their names,
you need
basically
a pickle in that kind of relationship.
Stop! Sorry. Just behave yourself. Natalie's rolling her eyes. Well, poor Natalie comes in to do her job, and you're talking about a pickle in a lesbian relationship. Shame on you, Michael Riedel.
Emily Vlasic, we'll call her.
Isn't that the name of a pickle brand?
Yes. That's a joke.
It is.
Oh, got it.
Pickles.
Hello, that's not her real name.
It's not a vibrator, it's a pickle.
Oh! Michael, what is... every day with you. Every day.
Glenn's the one who's charged up about these lesbian kissing Uber girls.
Children and much older listeners who are just offended by your behavior.
How about anybody?
Vlasic is a brand of pickles, folks. Pickles.
Oh,
okay, all right.
Boy. But you know, and you don't plug them in.
Okay, children, let's get back to North Korea.
No, let's not. This is much more interesting.
We got to say that the two women, Alex and Emma, they're nothing wrong with saying this because it's true. I saw their pictures in the paper. They're very attractive.
They are.
Well, Very attractive.
Why? Are you slamming lesbians as being unattractive people?
No. I'm just acknowledging that they're comely young women.
They are.
You gave them a 9 yesterday.
I did. Yeah, you refused to rate them. But rounding out the big three, hey, there's no quit in this hound dog.
Oh, my God.
Rudy Giuliani accused of cheating on his wife at age 74. The nerve of him. I'm just shocked. I'm disappointed. I can't believe men do stuff like
74-year-old this. 74-year-old Rudy, the horn dog, is running around with Maria Rosa Ryan, who is 53, and she runs a hospital up in New Hampshire. Yeah, I mean, she's an accomplished woman.
Okay.
And apparently they checked in to the Mountain View Grand Resort Spa, and Giuliani showed her a couple of movies. Now, guess what movies he showed her?
Let's see. What was Stormy Daniels' movie?
Goodwill Humping. No, he did not show Goodwill Humping. He showed, and this tells you all you need to know about Rudy the Don.
Yeah.
He showed The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2 to
her. Really?
Yes. How sexy is that?
Hey,
Two very good movies, though.
They are good movies.
If that doesn't get a girl in the mood, I don't know what does.
Oh, I've used some Francis Ford Coppola movies
really?
For seduction techniques over
really?
Years.
Seduction techniques?
Michael, I don't need to know.
You like The Assassination of Sonny on the Causeway? Wow, that gets them all really hot and bothered.
No, I like it when Marlon Brando's with the spray and the tomatoes and he keels over with a heart attack in front of the little kid.
Oh, that's exciting,
that's
too.
Exciting.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we've got your Mets tickets at 7:30. We've got the Turning Point at 8:30. Well, what do you think of last night's game? 8-2. They did have the lead. Jay Bruce awakened from his long slump and had a 2-run double, and the Mets led it 2-1.
And then
lost 8-2.
Kaboom.
Among our guests this morning, hey, we have Long Island Congressman Peter King coming up at 7:08. My guess is he's going to wave the banner and say what a great thing the president did over there in Singapore. And
well, I should hope so.
We'll get the congressman's take on all that. And I'm very excited. Coming up at 9:40. Legendary, and I say legendary, comedian David Steinberg. I've been a fan of his forever, but he's much, much more than just a Canadian
He was a director of Curb Your Enthusiasm, very close to Larry David, and he does that brilliant Inside Comedy series where he interviews all of the comedians.
Oh, it's great stuff.
You love that.
Yeah, he's terrific. I've always liked his work. I thought he was always...
Cerebral.
Right, that's the word.
Cerebral. Do you understand anything I'm saying today?
No, not a word.
Implacable, cerebral.
Implacable. No, you're right. That's a good way to describe his comedic technique because, you know, some comedians use the lowest common denominator.
Yeah,
never,
David Steinberg.
Some people use their brain. And
remember, before Joan Rivers became Johnny Carson's go-to guest host when he was on vacation, David Steinberg was always filling in for Carson on the late night show.
Right. Well, you know who we really have to thank for this summit? Just ask Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I know the president had seen some of your comments over the last...
Wait, is she in a hole? Where's... I'm not going to play that. That's awful.
Where is she?
Oh, she was praising Dennis Rodman for his contribution.
Dennis Rodman, yes, the Henry Kissinger of our era. He's the one who brought this summit together, Len. Don't run old Dennis down.
Dennis pulled it off.
When I said those damn things... When I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats while I was sitting up protecting everything.
All right. So Dennis pulled Natalie, what was with that Sarah Sanders?
She was on TV on the phone. You were doing an interview.
On the phone?
Yeah.
And what was she actually saying? That Rodman, she was thanking him for his efforts?
Exactly. I mean, why would you? He did a good job.
Right.
He did. The poor guy's upset. He was crying. You have to console him, Len.
So you want to hear some
You know what? When you want somebody to hear you, when you say, I have a message that could help save the world and no one's listening to you, that has to be frustrating.
Well, he was crying.
When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats.
I got death threats because I was doing karaoke.
I got so many death threats while I was sitting up protecting everything.
I couldn't go anywhere for 30 days.
I couldn't go home for 30 days and 30 nights.
Yes, he is crazy, Natalie. There's a but what?
I honestly think that he did have a part of this.
He did. And when
when
he went to your president, Len, Barack Obama, with the suggestion that Kim Jong-un wanted to meet, he was ignored, completely ignored by the Chuck Schumers of the world.
Years ago.
You want to hear more of Dennis or Chuck Schumer?
Neither.
Well, no, but that's
the
point.
I want to hear from our president.
Well, that's the point about Obama.
I talked to Kim Jong-un and the administration over there 5 years ago.
Kim Jong-un?
And he asked me 5 years ago, we sat down for lunch, and he sat down and asked me, hey, Dennis, I would like to ask you 3 things. If you go back to tell the president of the United States these 3 things, and I would be willing to talk to him. And this is a true story, and I got my people here that was there that heard the conversation. And I tried to do that to Obama, and Obama didn't even give me the time of day.
Yeah. Hey, and Natalie, you know, Rita wants to hear some Donald Trump. We have all this audio here. Shouldn't we hear from
our esteemed leader?
We should hear a little Donald Trump on this. Crowing. He's very excited.
Yeah.
He's back home now.
Yep. Air Force One just came back.
Yep. Just landed. And he feels that's a long schlep. My God. What is it? A 24-hour flight?
Yeah. But come on. If you're flying on Air Force One, I have a feeling it's pretty well equipped for long flights. You probably have a nice bed and maybe a spa. Probably is like a Trump hotel.
You know what? I have to give the president credit because, you know, he had plenty of time. What do you mean, here it comes?
Here, whenever you say, I have to give the president credit, I know you're setting up for the kill. Here you go.
Well,
brace yourselves, listeners. Len is not being...
No, it's true. I really have to...
he's being disingenuous, to use another big word.
He had 24 hours to tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you remember what De Niro said on the Tony Sunday.
Drop the F-bomb on...
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
Yeah. Long-standing ovation. So I want to praise the president for taking the high road and not responding. Oh, actually, he tweeted. I didn't notice. He said, Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual, has received too many shots in the head by real boxers in movies. I watched him last night. I truly believe he may be punch drunk. I guess he doesn't realize the economy is the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
With employment being at an all-time high and many companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, Punchy.
He's got De Niro's number. By the way, I can tell you, a lot of people in the theater who do not like Trump, but they were very upset. They were very upset with De Niro because he stepped all over the awards.
No, I know.
The attention was his dropping the F-bomb on Trump, and everybody who won an award was sort of shunted aside for the headlines for De Niro. Yeah. So the theater people are not pleased with old Bob Punchy De Niro.
I thought it was classless, but it doesn't stop me from playing it again.
I'm going to say one thing. Trump.
All right. So we are just getting going. Glad you're with us on a Wednesday. Coming up, we have a couple of terrible stories to delve into. We have that tragic car accident in Canarsie. The mother is gone. The child is not doing great. And on the Upper West Side, a woman set on fire by her boyfriend. Ow. Anyway, you want the latest in technology? Well, our friends from PC Richard & Son are bringing you all the newest smart home products. And best of all, their salespeople are smart experts, too. They can show you how everything works, how it connects with your Google Home or Alexa. The prices are the lowest guaranteed, as always, and the advice is free. Check out LG Smart AI ThinQ Televisions. You can control your smart home devices from all your TVs. Connect with your smart thermostats, your locks, video cameras, all from your TV. Because the Google Assistant is built right in. Right, built right into it. And right now, you get free delivery and wall installation up to $300 with select LG television purchases at PC Richard & Son. I go see my guy in Greenville. That's on Long Island. He gets me up to speed on all things smart. You know, you get the lowest prices. You get the best advice, expert installations, and you know that PC Richard & Son stands behind everything they sell. For appliances, electronics, mattresses, and everything smart, all you have to do is whistle. Let's get the traffic. For that, all you have to do is go to Bernie Viter.
And a good Wednesday morning to everybody at 6:25. Some really tragic news to report out of Brooklyn this morning. A car struck a mother and her six-year-old grandson, her six-year-old grandson, and killed the mother, Shayna Sinclair. Her six-year-old son, Javon, is in serious condition in the hospital. It happened in Remsen Avenue in Canarsie Tuesday evening. Two speeding cars came by as Shayna and her son were standing at the bus stop. One of the cars hopped the curb and slammed into Shayna and Javon at the bus stop. Shayna Sinclair is dead. Her six-year-old son, Javon, is in critical condition in the hospital. No arrest yet. The investigation continues, and apparently the drivers are still on the scene, so no, it was not a hit and run.
Well, witnesses claim that the two cars were speeding, so I don't know.
A lot of neighborhood people claim that there's a lot of speeding in that intersection there.
I don't know if they were speeding with each other, but the drivers did stay on the scene, so so far no charges. Now, this was a neighborhood resident, Michael Thomas, who talked to Channel 7 Eyewitness News.
We are advocating for the Department of Transportation. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired of asking for this. This is not the first action we had on this block. So we ask them to either give us speed cameras or give us speed bumps, because if they don't, we're going to keep having more casualties on this block.
So this is Remsen Avenue in Canarsie. Now, we have Alice Stockton Rossini heading to the scene. We'll hear from her later this morning. Now, the same resident, Michael Thomas, he also spoke with Channel 2.
They use this block as a speedway. When that light turns green from Avenue N to Seaview, it's like a raceway. They do 89 miles per hour.
I wonder why. 80, is it a big wide avenue? And are people just sort of drag racing or something
must
like that?
Must be a nice straight stretch of road. I don't know. I've never been down there.
I think far more effective than speed cameras are speed bumps. You put some of those big speed bumps there, people are not going to want to go over that fast, because the head will hit the top of your car and knock you out.
That's a good idea. Been in neighborhoods and
put
places.
Put speed bumps with reflectors there so you see it coming and people slow down.
So we'll have more from Alice probably right after the news at 8 o'clock, and we'll get her take, and she'll let us know what that street is like down there. Now, how about this crazy story? On the Upper West Side, 32-year-old woman is rushed to the hospital. She's discovered in the hallway. Now, this is Upper West Side, Columbus Avenue, and she's...
on fire.
On fire.
Her boyfriend set her on fire.
Her boyfriend is alleged to have... Now, they're looking for the boyfriend. The boyfriend, they have a mugshot.
His name is Larry McGloster. Well,
if they have a mugshot, that means he's been in trouble before, because they have a front and side view of this guy.
Yeah. He looks kind of terrifying, this guy.
Well, she's 32. He's 26. He's described as 5'8", but there's a good mugshot of him, so I'm sure they'll track him down. Woman's listed in critical but stable condition at Harlem Hospital. But this obviously shakes up the people there.
That someone would have that kind of wherewithal and thought to do that to another human being, I think that's just crazy.
That's, like, horrible. Like, that's, like, how can you do that to a woman? That's insane. That goes beyond sane.
Yeah, it goes beyond sane. Now, this is the neighbor who found her is Bonnie Chapman.
This girl was hollering for help and banging on doors. So when she begged on mine, I answered the door. I just grabbed my blanket off the bed and just put her out. I just wrapped around her and patted her down.
Bonnie Chapman, she's a hero.
You come upon somebody on fire. Yeah, this is Bonnie. More from Bonnie Chapman.
I put her out, she kept trying to move, and she was, like, shaking. She was trying to move, but I just said, I was on the phone with 911, and I was telling her, just relax, just let me help you. I'm trying to help you.
According to the police, this awful guy, this McGloster, he doused his girlfriend, the woman, with an unknown substance and then set her on fire before fleeing the scene.
How awful.
What a monster.
What a monster is right. Now, we're told it's around 104th Street, I think, up on the Upper West Side, Columbus Avenue. I mean, that's roughly, Columbia University neighborhood, just very roughly. I mean, some nice areas up there. It's not like it's just an awful, terrible, rotten place. I mean, that's a pretty nice area.
Well, it is now. When I was at Columbia in the 80s, it was pretty dangerous, sketchy kind of place.
They've done a great job.
Beautiful,
They've really expanded all kinds of buildings in the area.
Morningside Park up there is beautiful, but when I was at Columbia in the 80s, they said never walk in Morningside Park. You're taking your life in your own hands. Yeah. We were warned to stay away.
Yeah, no. My son used to live up in that neighborhood, and a great place to ride bikes. And
beautiful.
Great neighborhood. All right, so we got a couple of crazy stories this morning, but hopefully things will work out for the 6-year-old boy and for this woman who was critically burned. Hopefully they'll catch this creep.
Sad and tragic stuff. All right, let's get some more news now at 6:30 with Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. President Trump says, sleep well tonight. He's tweeting that there's no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea after his summit with Kim Jong-un.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah, real fast.
But so it's all settled.
It's all done. Okay. Completely, whatever you
were worried
about
before. No nukes,
all gone. So what do we do next, Iran or Syria?
A good question. Let's flip a coin. Let's roll some dice. Figure out what we're going to
do next week.
Because that should just be simple, too. Get it done in a week.
Exactly.
So Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is indeed skeptical of the deal.
President Trump seems to have given away two or three of the major things that Kim Jong-un wanted. A meeting, the flags next to each other.
Ooh, the flags.
A delay of exercises with South Korea without getting anything in return. The danger to America is ever present.
Oh, my gosh, those flags. Wow, can you believe that he actually put the flag next to the American flag? That's just terrible, isn't it, Mike?
It is indeed. It's shocking to see that happen. Now, some Republicans are also concerned that Kim Jong-un won't live up to the agreement to denuclearize. I don't know why they would feel that way, Len, but they're concerned.
I don't know.
About
I'm
it.
Shocked. Yeah.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the U.S. and Canada shouldn't be fighting, saying it's not in their best interest, but he also says Canada will continue to stand up for itself.
They move forward with punitive tariffs on trade in aluminum and steel. Not only are they putting a threat on Canadian workers and Canadian industry, but they're actually going to hurt American workers as well.
Mm-hmm. Trump called Trudeau mild and meek for saying he'd retaliate against the U.S. with tariffs of its own.
He is kind of mild and meek, little Trudeau. He looks, at least like, he's, looks him, like he's 14.
Didn't call him punchy like he called Robert De Niro. So.
Yeah, right? No nickname yet for Trudeau.
Mild and meek.
Yeah.
Meeky.
And all that meditation could be stressing you out.
What?
Wall Street Journal says some people are so devoted to meditating, believing that it gives them the inner peace that they're looking for, that they begin to worry about it. It goes against the logic, doesn't it?
This is dopey.
Others are incredibly competitive about it. They use apps to track the time that they meditate, often compare themselves to other people in regards to how much time they spend meditating. Even some maintain streaks of their meditation.
Okay, that settles it. I'm not going to meditate. You know, I was all set to try to relieve the stress of working with Riedel. And now, it's gonna, if that's going to make me more stressful, forget it.
Yeah, I can really see you sitting cross-legged on a mat going, oh.
Do you have to have like a mantra? They still do that kind of stuff?
I think they do. Yeah. I think that's
it's better to do it. It's an easier way to get into your meditation.
So how do you, is it a phrase or a word? How does that work?
Oh, it could be anything you want.
So I could go like, 710 WOR.
No.
The voice of New York.
No. Len's clicking his cymbals. Bring back Todd Schnitt.
What?
Bring back Todd Schnitt.
What? What? Sorry. What? Now you've driven off the rails, Riedel.
Sorry.
I'm going to go meditate, guys.
Okay. Hey, stay with us because when we get back, the news from Atlanta is depressing the Braves. Well, they cleaned our Mets clocks last night, sad to say. And smile, Len.
Smile.
You're on Russian Candid Camera.
Yep.
All that's coming up when we get back. But first, let's go to Bernie Biter with the traffic.
War.
6:40. Good morning, everyone. This is the time in the show when we normally check out how those New York Mets are doing.
Oops. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
So the big Sunday night win to salvage the third game of the Subway Series. They charged to Atlanta after a day off and took a 2-1 lead.
For a while. For a little bit.
They still, can't get hits. I mean, they get decent pitching, but they still can't get the hits. So, I mean, believe it or not, this was a great sign because the Mets were struggling. Jay Bruce, he's the poster boy for the Mets' offensive struggles. He's just not getting anything done. And all of a sudden, Jay Bruce.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball, well hit, left center towards the gap. Nobody's going to reach it. It's in for a hit and bounces over the wall for an automatic double. It'll give the Mets the lead. Frazier scores. Nimmo scores. Cabrera stops at third. He is held at third on the rule, the automatic double. But Jay Bruce, with a two-run double, has given the Mets a 2-1 lead.
That was in the sixth inning, and Zach Wheeler was pitching really well. But you know the cardinal rule in pitching, right, Michael Riedel?
Try to strike out the batter.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
If your team gives you the lead, don't
lose it.
Just don't give it right back. I just, you know, you got hold them. Just hold them in the bottom of that inning.
It's called protecting the lead, Len.
Yeah, well, they didn't. So, first of all, Wheeler gives up a home run to Freddie Freeman. That ties the game. Before the inning is over, bases loaded for the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-mm. One and one to Albies. Infield overshifted. The pitch. Swinging a drive in the air to deep right field. Bruce going back. It's going to go. Grand slam. Ozzie Albies. Way over the 16-foot high wall in right field. A slumping Ozzie Albies breaks out in a big way. A grand slam. His 16th home run of the year. And the Braves have opened up a 7-2 lead.
A six-run sixth after the Mets had taken the lead in the top of the sixth, so they did not hold the lead. They lost.
And that's when morale just deflates after a hit like that, right? A grand slam.
Well, it was. He came out of the game, Wheeler did, and Paul Sewald came in with the bases loaded and two outs, and boom, there it went.
On a cheerier note, we will be giving away Mets tickets at 7:30.
We will.
And we will have the turning point of last night's game at 8:30.
Now, there's some other Mets notes. First of all, Mickey Callaway got thrown out of a game. Congratulations for the first time in his career. Well done, Mickey.
What did he do?
Well, what happened was Brandon Nimmo, our friend, was hit by a pitch, but he wasn't given first base. The umpires ruled that he leaned into the ball, didn't try to get out of the way.
Oh.
And Mickey came out and was quite upset and said, wait a second, Nimmo's standing in a batter's box.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the ball came into the batter's box area and hit him off that protective elbow sheath that these guys wear. So he got kicked out of the game and got tossed, and then it seemed to have worked because Mets then took the lead after that. But that was it. Also, Sandy Alderson addressed the media and said, blame him for everything, meaning Alderson.
He's going to take the fall for the entire
problem?
No,
he's just saying blame me. The way we put this team together was to get all this great pitching. It did seem like a great plan and have some decent position players. And he says, blame him. It's all on him. It didn't work out. Now, as we know, every week, Jerry Blevins goes on with Pete McCarthy at 6:10 every Tuesday, Mets on Deck. And, to hear Jerry speak, you wouldn't think there was a huge problem with this Mets team.
We feel good. I mean, we've played competitively in every game. We feel like we're right there. We understand that our record's not great and we've got to make a push, so we're trying to win some ball games. I think we're in a positive mindset moving forward, but we understand we got to do some winning.
Nah, that was before the game last night.
Right. Shall we check back with him now?
Well, I don't know. It's a quick series. In fact, this afternoon, it's an early afternoon game. Coverage here starts at 11:05. Mets and Braves here on 710 WOR. Now, you had that great tease smile. You're on Russian candid camera. What does that have to do with sports?
Yes, well, Russia is hosting the World Cup.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow.
That's right. And they are training workers at FIFA, Russian Railways, and Moscow Metro to smile at all the tourists who are coming to Moscow for the World Cup. Now, this is because Russians apparently are not prone to flashing their pearly whites.
No, you don't think of Russian people with big smiles.
Well, I have to disagree somewhat here, but there's an old Russian proverb that says laughing for no reason is a sign of stupidity, in which case you and I must be total morons on this show. But I've known some Russians over the years. Now, it's true, they can be a little depressed. It is a depressing country with a depressing history. But let me tell you, you get them loaded with a little stoli, and you have never seen happier or jollier people than the Ruskies.
Oh, wait a second. Smiling is one thing, and they're not laughing. They're not walking up to tourists and go, ha, 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 strasvitcha, ha, ha, kakvi pozhivayecha, ha, ha, ha. That means hello, how are you, if you're scoring your Russian at home.
Oh, look at him. I'm working with Rosa Klebb here.
Well, who?
Rosa Klebb. She's the Russian villain in from Russia with Love, James Bond movie.
I took Russia at Stuyvesant.
Really?
At Syracuse, yeah. The classes they're giving
I knew you were a communist.
You know what you are? You're plocha.
What does that mean?
Well, if I asked you if you were Kara Shaw or plocha, one means good and one means not so good.
I'm Kara Shaw.
That's good. Kara Shaw means good.
Kara Shaw.
Plocha. Of course that means lousy. The classes they're giving these people, these workers, laughter yoga.
God.
Workers practice being lighthearted, friendly, and goofy.
They should work on our show for a day. They'd be fine. Who needs laughter yoga when you can be with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning?
By the way, today the big announcement is going to be made. Are you looking forward to the... First of all, the World Cup begins tomorrow.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. U.S. is not in it. That's
not
exciting.
Not.
In 4 years, it's in Qatar. They have moved it to the fall, right? Because it's just too damn hot to play in there.
90,000 degrees.
You can't play in the summer there.
Right.
So 4 years from now, it's Qatar. But then after that, there are two finalists for 2026. We have a joint bid. How's this going to work out? I wonder how the president's going to work this one out. We have a joint. It's a joint bid with U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
That's oops. Former allies.
Interesting.
Former allies.
Former friends. So that's going to be so. But the other competitor is Morocco.
Ah.
And they're like the dark horse in all this. So the announcement could come
while we're on the air.
Could come at any minute.
I didn't realize that soccer had gotten so big. I thought it was sort of a second-rate sport here in America.
Oh, no,
but
no,
apparently
no.
Now it's popular.
But World Cup is huge.
Oh, it's that's so exciting.
That's the biggest sporting event in the world is World Cup. Because, listen, it's a whole country. It's the whole country going country versus country. It's just that U.S. didn't qualify this year.
When I was in high school, if you were a wimp like me, you didn't play American football. You played soccer because that was for the wimps.
Yeah, it was. Well, now it's for real men or women. All right, coming up next, we're going to have that tragic Bodie Miller 911 call. Also, the super pooper. And super as in school superintendent.
That's it. Okay. Hey, the iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to this lineup of performances. Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Shawn Mendes, Kelly Clarkson, and just added Fleetwood Mac. The iHeartRadio Music Festival Capital One cardholder pre-sale is now on. Cardholders get access to tickets right now. General public on sales Friday at 1 p.m. Go to iHeartRadio.com/Capital One and get tickets now before they're gone.
All righty. Before traffic is gone, and I'm sure it's not, well, let's check in with Bernie Viter.
WOR.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, at 6:55. And Len, to throw another big word at you, you were prescient. You just said we expect any minute the announcement of the World Cup. And while we were on a break here, indeed, the announcement has been made. And who won it? U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
The 2026 FIFA World Cup will be held joint hosting, and we're getting along so well with Canada and Mexico these days. I wonder if the wall will be built by then.
Do you think Trump had anything to do with getting the World Cup here?
He wrote a couple of letters. I don't, you know, he was a little bit involved tangentially, but now the United States has held the World Cup. Mm-hmm. It was very successful in the U.S. It was just U.S. Right. 1994, and then there were two women's World Cups, 99, that was the famous one. I remember Brandi Chastain threw off her shirt, winning gold against China, and then 2003. So the women held it twice, but this is very interesting. And now we'll have to figure out which cities, because there are a long list of cities that, you know, Cincinnati and New York, I mean, it goes on and on and on. A bunch of cities want to host some of these soccer games. So we'll, I guess they'll have to approve, or FIFA will approve, which stadiums and which cities.
But they'll play in Canada and Mexico, too? They'll float around?
They'll have games. You know, the tournament goes on for about a month. So some of the games will be in Mexico. Some will be in Canada. Now, obviously, the games in Mexico will be huge.
Road trip to Saskatchewan.
I don't know how big soccer is in Canada, but
it's very big.
Well, it's bigger in Mexico, trust me.
Yes,
so, I mean, it'll be huge there. So that's the story. So congratulations. If you're looking forward, get your tickets now if you can.
Well,
2026.
Let's just get a good men's team together by 2026.
Well, I think you automatically get in, right?
Do you? Oh, that would be great.
I think you do.
Really?
But all three countries then?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, yeah. Mexico would probably be in. I don't know about Canada.
You know what? I could be wrong. I'd have to check, but I saw that Russia
is... All right, I'll go find it.
Find that for me, because Russia is playing. You know, the World Cup this year opens in Russia, and it opens tomorrow, and Russia's playing. I just assumed, okay, they're the host country, so they get in. So let me know if the host country automatically gets in or not.
Boy, this was a terrible story we talked about yesterday. The great skier, Bodie Miller's... daughter, 19-month-old daughter, Emily Miller, she drowned at a pool party on Sunday night. And we've got some of the 911 calls that came in. Apparently, when they pulled her little body out of the water, she wasn't breathing, but she had a faint pulse, and they tried to administer CPR to save her little life, but unfortunately, it was not successful.
The baby fell in the pool.
Okay, is he breathing?
No, a little girl.
A woman called in frantically.
How long was she in the pool?
We don't know.
A minute.
No, we don't know. Come on, baby girl. You got this.
Okay, is she breathing yet?
No.
Oh, man.
Terrible. Terrible. You know, I think you're never too young to learn how to swim. I remember my father taking us to the pool at the college in our hometown of Geneseo when I was just a little kid, and he just flung me right into the pool because he thought we had to know how to swim. We were around lakes as kids, always around pools, and you just had to learn how to swim.
Mm. Emmeline, 19-month-old daughter, and fell in the pool, just every parent's worst nightmare. Well, how about this crazy story? We've been following this. Well, this guy showed up. Remember the super pooper? Super as in superintendent?
Yes, yes.
This is Thomas Tramolini. He's the Kenilworth School superintendent, and he was caught on video and seen. Well, how can I say this? relieving himself.
Number two.
Yeah, pooping on the Holmdel High School track.
Is there the rival school, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Who the heck? He was in municipal court, answered charges of public defecation, littering, and lewdness. This happened in April. There's some video, but the attorney apparently is calling the video into question, saying it consisted of comprised video snippets, not the entire video.
Right, exactly. Like, we need to see the whole thing.
He had a pooper reel?
Right. Yes.
And they're complaining that it's
blooper,
not the full.
Not a blooper reel.
A pooper reel.
I mean, because what is the full video going to show us that the highlights don't?
As the article said, he was caught with his pants down. And it said the judge didn't show an urgency to set a trial date, according to NewJersey.com. I like the way they wrote it here. She gave the attorneys time to flush out any problems with the evidence.
Oh, God.
Lovely, lovely. And by the way, I did a little research, and according to several websites, the host country does get an automatic bid, but what are they going to do? There's three host countries.
Yeah. That would be tough. Get three out of them. Because what, there are 24?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know.
Anyway, this was a parent on this case.
This is an angry kind of an act, it seems to me. Now, I don't know that for a fact, so I can't say that completely factually, but it seems to me that this is a guy with some serious mental issues.
He's got some serious bathroom issues.
Well, come on. Hold it in, buddy.
X-lax. Okay. Hey. All right. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to talk to our pal, Congressman Peter King, about North Korea. And we have Mets tickets for you at 7:30 and 8:30. All of that is coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 84. Currently 65 degrees at WOR.
Checking your WOR Sports, the Mets continue to struggle, losing in Atlanta 8-2.
The Mets made the call to the bullpen last night with disastrous results.
The pitch, swinging a drive in the air to deep right field. Bruce going back. It's going to go. Grand slam, Ozzie Albies.
An 8-2 loss to the Braves. The offense continues to slumber with 15 runs total over the Mets' last 10 games. Mets on deck at 11 this morning here on 710 WOR. I'm Pete McCarthy.
More sports coming up with Len Berman at 7:15. It's 66 degrees right now. Your next update is at 7:30 and breaking news at once. I'm Mike Bauer on 710 WOR, an NBC News radio station.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
And a very good Wednesday morning to everybody. If you're just joining us, you know, there was once a time when the president was out of the country on a mission to another country where the opponents would refrain from criticizing him. But that's all gone now. Our president brought North Korea to the table to begin to get them to denuclearize. And what is happening here? The Democrats, the liberal media, the New York Times, MSNBC, Len Berman, all piling on the president, saying he's given too much away. That moron Chuck Schumer saying, can you believe Trump actually allowed North Korea to fly its flag next to ours? What did he get in return for that? Come on, Len.
Are you done with your little speech?
My yes.
God, you're foaming at the mouth now.
Well, you can't. Trump has pulled off an amazing achievement, and the liberals are already dumping on him. They said nothing when Obama gave the store away to the Iranians. Oh, then all the Democrats and the liberals, oh, this is great. This is terrific because Obama did it. But if Trump tries to have peace, no, can't be. Trump's, oh, everything Trump does is wrong. It's going to be terrible. He didn't get any real agreements from North Korea. Already they're dumping on the president.
Can you spell hypocrite? I mean, how many? Oh, because who? The Republicans, yeah. Never.
The left wing is hypocritical.
Oh, wait a second. Well, because the Republicans were always very supportive of any effort internationally made by Obama. So yeah, the Republicans just got in line and said, way to go, Obama.
Well, they were right to be skeptical.
Oh, and the Democrats are. I mean, well, we're going to talk to Peter King in just a few moments.
He'll
really
straighten you out.
Really?
Yes.
Kim loves his people. That's what the president said. Kim Jong-un loves his people. That's why he assassinates them,
well, no.
Makes them live in labor camps and makes them eat dirt. But he loves them.
The past is the past, Len.
Oh,
we're turning really? The page.
Unbelievable.
We're moving forward. Also in the big three. How about that? Horn dog, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, I'm shocked. This is shocking, I tell you.
His wife, Judy, they're getting a divorce, and she says he had an affair. Rudy's 74. He had an affair with Maria Rosa Ryan, 53, who runs a hospital up in New Hampshire. Apparently, Rudy and the nurse checked into the Mountain View Grand Resort Spa and got it on watching The Godfather and The Godfather 2 up in the bedroom.
That's what they were doing?
That's what they were doing.
That was his makeout song?
That was his makeout.
That was his makeout movie?
They have a actually, the Post has a picture of the bed in Rudy's room, and I was looking to see, because, you know, some of those hotels in New Hampshire are a little stuck in the past. I was looking to see if they had one of those vibrators. Remember, you used to put the quarter in on the vibrator next to the bed, and the vibrator would shake?
Yeah, sure.
You know, but I don't see it there.
Well, does it say who was more turned on by the
Godfather?
The decapitated horse? Was it Rudy or the girlfriend?
Or the girlfriend, I don't know. Also in the big three, hey, that Uber driver who threw the cute lesbians who are kissing in the back of his car.
So the cute lesbians, that's what you're calling
them? They're attractive. Attractive is a better word, right? Okay. Natalie, be my PC
they're
police
very
here.
Attractive women.
You can say attractive young women, that's
okay,
fair, right?
That's fine.
How about lip-locking lusty lesbians?
I'm not going to say that.
Did you say lefty lesbians?
Lusty.
I thought you were still on
that
track.
You're not going to sign on for that one? No. Okay. Well, the Uber driver, he has had his license suspended for throwing the girls out of his car. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the
By the way, before we're going to be joined by Congressman Peter King from Long Island momentarily. We mentioned just before the break that the United States, Mexico, and Canada has won the joint bid to host soccer's World Cup in 2026, and I had said 24 teams. That's been expanded in the last couple of times to 32 teams. But we asked the question, and Natalie was great about this, does the host team automatically get a bid? The answer is yes. However, there are three teams here. So they have to decide if they're going to give all three countries a bid. You know, there's 211 countries that try to wind up in the World Cup. 32 get it. The only other time that there was a joint bid was 2002. Japan and Korea, they both got bids automatically. So will they give three of the 32 bids? I have my doubts. They're going to give it all to U.S., Canada, Mexico, but they may. We'll see.
Who knows? All right, now joining us on the line is Congressman Peter King. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm fine. All right, so tell me, not a lot of details or specifics in this agreement with North Korea, but I think we're moving in the right direction. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, it's the beginning of a long process. It's not going to be easy, but I think the president is doing the right thing. He has to watch it very carefully because we're dealing with a ruthless, lying dictator. On the other hand, I think because of the president's diplomacy, because of his threats, because of the sanctions, North Korea is in pretty bad shape right now, and that's why they're coming to the table. There's no love here. It's not because Kim Jong-un has certainly had an epiphany. No, he realizes that his future is at stake. So I believe we have to keep the pressure on. We have to insist that every agreement along the way, every detail be complied with. And right now it's at the early stages. But to me, it's a very, very positive step, considering that when President Obama was leaving office, he told President-elect Trump at the time that this would be his most serious issue, that this was close to being a calamity with North Korea. So, yes, it's a real, very positive step in the right direction. And I would hope that people not be jumping in, criticizing every specific detail at this stage, because there's a lot of moving parts here. And it's something that's going to have to be given a chance to take shape. And we'll know soon enough whether or not North Korea is serious or not.
Congressman. Good morning, yes. Congressman. I just want to say good morning.
And how are you?
And you say there are critics. Okay, now let's go down a couple of the criticisms. Number one, which I don't happen to agree with, you know, he's being criticized for cozying up and giving this stage to a brutal dictator. You know, personally, I think that's okay. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and if you want to negotiate, you got to negotiate with the guy. So I don't think that's fair criticism. But I do think, the president saying Kim loves his people and the people love Kim, I don't buy that one. And I'm not a big fan of him without telling South Korea that we're going to do away with war exercises.
Okay, now as far as loving his people, the president there is to me obviously talking in hyperbole. It's almost putting pressure on Kim Jong-un. If you do love your people, if you do really care about your country, this is what you have to do. To me, that's sort of putting the guy in defense. Hey, I know you love your country, so you got to go ahead with this. I don't think for a moment President Trump thinks that Kim Jong-un loves his people. To me, that's all part of the talk to put him on defense. And but again, it's so far it's working out. As far as the exercises and the training exercises, what was said, what wasn't with South Korea, I don't know. I mean, this could be the president's way of telling South Korea that he's going to be calling the shots a lot in this. He's not going to be bound necessarily by South Korea. And again, you know, this is something that could be restarted on a moment's notice. I know when President Nixon went to China the first time, people were saying there were too many concessions made, you know, on Taiwan and everything. Listen, you know, we're the big players here, and if the president wants to assert it this way, fine. Now, if it turns out 6 months from now that we gave in too much, then, you know, they don't know about that. But he's the one in the room. He's the one who does see the big picture, and that was a, you know, decision that he made.
Yes, I think we have to give him some room, but Congress has a lot of say in foreign policy. So I imagine, Congressman, that you guys are going to be monitoring the situation, watching the agreement, and you will have criticisms if you don't think it passes.
By the way, guys, just so you know, the president just tweeted this minute, and he must have been listening to us, Congressman. He says, we save a fortune by not doing war games as long as we are negotiating in good faith, which both sides are. So that kind of echoes what you were saying.
Yeah, and that's, again, we don't know what all that Kim has said he's going to do with certain, as far as certain steps he may be taking. You know, we'll be looking at that. But listen, no, I agree. I think Congress should be very involved and it should be constructive criticism, certainly asking questions. But I just wouldn't be jumping out of the box saying this is wrong and that's right. But no, there should be, to me, especially the Foreign Affairs Committee, Foreign Relations Committee, they should be very much involved. And but I'm just saying, do it at a level where we're asking intelligent questions, constructive questions. And listen, this is going to take a combined effort, especially since the president did say at the start that he's going to be submitting this to Congress. Now, if it's going to be submitted to the Senate, that's going to take a 2/3 vote. Yeah. So there's going to have to be bipartisan involvement.
Do you think he really will include you, though? I mean, this president, Congressman, does have a way of going off on his own and making announcements without telling anybody else. Can you get some assurances from him that he will consult Congress?
Yeah, and I mean, to this extent, he's where he has to, in that the Secretary of State is responsible to the both the House and the Senate as far as coming up to testify. So, now will everything be told? No. I mean, I don't think any president ever has. But bottom line is, this is not going to happen overnight, and I think we are going to see, in fact, we have to see serious congressional involvement. I'm not giving the president a blank check on this. Believe me, this is a serious, serious issue. And we have to be very concerned. You know, one wrong decision here, and it could be all over. So, it has to be monitored. But again, all I'm saying is not to have the knee-jerk criticism of every decision that's made, because it should be at least put in context. And I'm sure when the president comes back and Mike Pompeo comes back, who I have a great regard for. I've known Mike for a number of years. We sat together in the Intelligence Committee for 5 years, 6 years. And four years, I guess it was. And Mike is extremely hawkish on North Korea. He's an extremely smart guy, and he will be in contact with us. And is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. And you're right, the president often, you know, he marches to his own drummer. But again, to get things done, he's going to have to be in contact with the Congress.
All right. More important than Korea, Congressman, what are you going to do about the Mets?
Well, I tell you, I really thought that they had a chance to at the very least be a playoff team this year. And I remember after the first 12 games, I was thinking, well, if the Mets just play 500 ball from here on in, right, pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like it's one position after another. And what's it, 12 or 13 guys on the DL? Have they put Cabrera on the DL yet? I don't know. He was the one that was, the latest one to be hurt. Yeah. I've never seen a team get so many injuries. I don't know whether it's a jinx or they brought in a whole new training squad. Yeah. I don't know. I was out in spring training, and I was pretty arrogantly predicting at least, first or second in the East, and I was already ordering my World Series ticket. So,
well, I think there should be a congressional investigation. That's what I think.
I would think so. And I don't know, maybe just like they're calling off the training exercises in South Korea, maybe they should do away with spring training.
We need better training exercises. That's with the Mets. There you go.
All right, Congressman Peter King.
Thanks, Congressman.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Terrific. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye. Coming up next, don't mess with those lesbians. The Uber driver who did had his license suspended. We'll delve into that when we get back. And now let's check in on Bernie Bider with the traffic.
In the morning.
On 710 WOR.
At 7:24, a big good morning to you and for the big soccer fans out there. And we include Natalie in this. Huge. She actually sits at home and watches soccer on television when her son Sam isn't playing and scoring
goals.
We were talking about the 2026 FIFA World Cup and the rights, the hosting has been assigned to a joint effort by the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So we were all debating whether or not all three countries will get automatic bids. So I thank listener Frank, who tweeted us at our Twitter handle, at LenMichaelWOR, because he points out, and he's absolutely correct, you know, there were currently 32 teams in the big tournament. Well, starting in 2026, there are going to be 48 teams. So when you expand to another 16 teams, so my guess is yes, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will all get bids if they have 48 teams.
So the games will be played in all three countries?
All three countries, yeah. So I thank Frank for that little bit of sports update. I'm glad I have all our listeners doing our research for us. It means we have less to do around here.
Thank you, Frank.
We have another question for our listeners,
yes,
too, concerning
the
Uber lesbians.
Yeah, we need some. Come on, Uber. We need to know this because the lesbian story. The two, as Michael says, comely young women were kissing in the back seat, and this happened.
Is there an issue? What's the issue?
I said you first time, but don't do it.
Is it illegal for an Uber?
It is illegal. You don't do
kissing
that.
Is not illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal.
No, it's not.
You don't do that here in the car.
What are you f***ing talking?
Anyone can
head?
Kiss in an Uber. You are sick.
You're allowed to do this.
Yeah, I am. No, we're filming you. Sir, why are we not allowed to kiss in an Uber?
Well, this Uber driver, Mr. El Butari, had his license revoked. He's an Uber driver, and he kicked these lesbians out for kissing.
But not his driver's license.
No, you're right. It's his taxi and limousine commission license. But here's our question. We need some research here. From Uber drivers, do you need a taxi and limousine commission license to be an Uber or a Lyft driver? Is that our question, Natalie? I think that's our question, right?
Well, exactly, because we know that he did have his livery license suspended, and I'm just wondering, maybe he had an additional license, so they said, well, forget it, you're never going to be driving a New York City cab now, so we're taking that away from you, or do you actually need it? Do they oversee it somehow?
So well, I'm
not
sure.
1-800-321-0710. Now, look, if I'm driving an Uber, and there are a couple of comely young women in my back seat who are making out,
yes.
I'm not going to kick him out of the car. I'm going to say, do you mind if I take the long way around?
Stop. Just behave yourself.
Quite a view in the rearview mirror.
There was more of this incident.
Nothing is illegal. It's not illegal to kiss in New York.
Don't get off of her phone.
Don't touch her.
Don't take it.
Oh, no. We're taking a video of you. I'm recording you. You're going to get fired.
I don't care.
I'm going to get you fired.
Can we call the cops right now, actually, before we close it?
No. We can't call the cops.
You know, I'm going to call. I want to.
No. We'll report him to Uber. It's okay.
No, I want to call the cops.
I'm a sub.
Those lesbians are fierce.
Alex, we're not sure how she pronounces it. I think it's Iovine or Iovine. And we think it's Emma Pickle or Pitchell or...
We like pickle around here.
Right. So the livery driver has had his TLC license, taxi limousine commission, revoked by TLC. They've taken away his license. Oh, so do we have an answer? Okay, let's check out Kevin. Kevin, what's the answer to our dilemma here?
How you doing? If you have a car with a TLC plate, taxi limousine commission issued plate, you have to have an active TLC license. You cannot drive it with just a regular license.
So that applies to Uber and Lyft, right?
Uber and everybody. If you have a TLC, Uber, Lyft, limousine companies, taxis, you have to have a TLC license.
Are you a driver, Kevin?
Yes, I am. And that man is out of business right now.
Yeah, he is. Do you allow the lesbians to kiss in your car?
He encourages it.
Yes, definitely. Listen, come on. Where this man comes from, okay, where this man comes from, it is probably a sinful, sinful thing, okay?
Yeah, right.
So it's a cultural difference.
Yeah.
But I'm an American, and I'm open, you know, so what can I say?
You're a red-blooded American male who wants lesbians kissing in the back of your car.
Exactly.
Thanks, That's Kevin. It. Thanks for helping us with this issue, and thanks for listening.
This is a very interesting point. We know very little about this driver. I haven't heard what his religion is or anything, but he could be from a part of the world where homosexuality is a sin, criminalized in much of the world, he may be deeply offended. I wonder if this falls under the cake maker who didn't want to bake a cake for the gay marriage.
Going to Supreme Court. See, I told you got a slippery slope here. You just can't let people make their own decisions.
It's hard to make the case if you're an Uber driver, though, that you're an artist.
I know his last name is El Baturi, so he's from, obviously, He's from somewhere over there, right?
Somewhere over there.
Let's go, Mets. It's now I'm very geographically.
Somewhere over there.
Somewhere over there. Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets. Mets, Rays, July 6th. This is driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. Be caller 21, Blackjack, at 800-321-0710. You're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. Time for the news headlines at 7:30. Joe Bartlett has a couple of days off. Filling in is Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Good morning, Michael. A mother is dead and her 6-year-old son has been critically injured after a car slammed into them at a Brooklyn bus stop. They were standing at Remsen and Seaview Avenues in Canarsie when the two cars collided just before 9 o'clock. One of them was sent over the curb and into the mother and her child.
The pedestrian that got struck lives across the street in this house, which I know, and the baby. And they're very friendly. They're very nice people. They've been living there for years. And it's just a shame what happened. We're just heartbroken.
Witnesses say the cars may have been speeding. The NYPD is searching for a man who attacked a woman on the Upper West Side, setting her on fire. Neighbors at the Douglas houses were shocked.
That someone would have that kind of wherewithal and thought to do that to another human being, I think that's just crazy.
That's, like, horrible. Like, that's... Like, how can you do that to a woman? That's insane. That goes beyond sane.
The woman is critically injured after 26-year-old Larry McGloster allegedly hit her with a hammer and then set her on fire.
He hit her with a hammer? That's a detail we didn't have this morning.
With a hammer first and then set her on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was
let's get this creep
going after destruction on some level. And, guys, the name may sound familiar to you. Dennis Hoff. Could be going from the cat house.
Oh, yeah, he's the Vegas guy, right?
To the state house. Hoff, a pimp who owns a series of brothels in Nevada and stars in the HBO show Cat House, has won a Republican primary for the state legislature.
Great, just the kind of candidates we need on my team. Yeah.
He lives in the town of Pahrump and calls himself the Trump of Pahrump.
Typical Republican, you people with no moral standards. What's wrong with you?
The Trump of Pahrump who sells rumps.
That's what he is. Hoff says it's all because Donald Trump was the Christopher Columbus for me. It's a Republican-heavy district, which means he's likely to win, guys.
What does that mean, the Christopher Columbus?
I don't know where he landed in the cat house.
He was an adventurer. He landed on America, and the rest is history.
And now Hoff is using that to his benefit.
And he had three boats, the Ivana, the Marla, and the Melania.
The Santa Maria. Right. Hey, thanks, Mike. Good stuff.
Guys.
When we return, you didn't think the president would stay quiet over De Niro, did you? And we have some of the stranger Singapore summit escapades. That's all coming up next. You know, after 9/11... Did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there? Or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Two questions for you. Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to the two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them, $400 million cases. If you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, just call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Traffic, Bernie Viper.
Good morning, everybody. It's 7:40. It's Wednesday, and it's a very good Wednesday for someone who just won Mets tickets, Len.
Congratulations to Maritza Ramirez of Manalapan, New Jersey. She won the Mets tickets for the Mets and Rays July 6th. I do question one thing about Maritza. She told Natalie she really likes the new guy on the show. So I don't know, something. Maritza clearly
Mike Bauer, the news guy?
Yeah, I think Maritza has some more listening to do. Anyway,
everybody has a favorite. It's fine.
Yeah, you've had a long string of callers saying, I just love Len. I love Len. And they can't even get my name right half the time.
What is your name? Riedel?
Riedel.
Michael Riedel.
Riedel High School?
Michael Riedel.
Okay.
It's Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
Well, we have the Turning Point contest for more tickets coming up at 8:30.
Hey, I watched the Tony Awards on Sunday night.
You did.
I thought it was a good ceremony. Josh Groban, Sarah Bareilles, they weren't exactly peppy song and dance people, but they sang well. They were kind of classy. I had a good time. Show was rolling along. A lot of musicals I liked were picking up Tony Awards, including The Band's Visit. And then, who walks out to spoil the evening but the once upon a time great actor now turned hack, Robert De Niro, who dropped the F-bomb on Trump, garnered all the attention and headlines for himself, much to the dismay and chagrin of the Broadway people who were hoping to get a little attention for their shows that won awards.
Well, they cut all this out in the CBS telecast, but down under in Australia, you heard.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
And then he got a 40-second standing ovation, and he finished it off by saying,
it's no longer down with Trump, it's F*** Trump.
And I thought it was nice of the president not to hold his fire. The president
just let it pass. Well, he had other fish to fry, like Justin Trudeau. But once he finished
and
filleting Justin Trudeau,
right,
then he had something to say to old De Niro. He tweeted, Robert De Niro, very low IQ individual, has received too many shots to the head by real boxers in movies. I watched him last night and truly believe he may be punch drunk. I guess he doesn't realize the economy is the best it's ever been, with employment being at an all-time high and many companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, Punchy!
I have to tell you, the president's the best at nicknames.
He's great. They are really funny.
He is funny.
He's used low IQ before, low IQ individual before, I think. Low energy for Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush. And that's what I'm concerned. He really has to come up with a nickname for Justin Trudeau. He's called him Weak and what? Meek.
Weak and Meek.
Yeah. So
he could call him Trudy Trudeau.
I don't know. He may stay away from this one. He may not call another world leader by a nickname, but then again, he might.
Let me ask you a question, though, Len. Yeah. What do you think about the Hollywood elite using these ceremonies, these award ceremonies, to bash the president?
You know, I feel almost similarly to how I felt about the sports and the kneeling thing. I understand they have the right to say things in America, but... You know, I'm tuning into a sports event for sports, and I'd rather watch the sports event. And same thing with, listen, I enjoyed watching some of the Tonys, but I thought De Niro's thing was classless. And when the Oscars turn into a whole Trump bash from A to Z, you know, I could see one joke in there or a little thing in the monologue. But when it becomes overdone, I'm not sure that's the right way to go. I know Natalie wants to say something.
I've been rehashing this because, Michael, you know the inside Broadway community.
Yeah.
Everybody knew De Niro's thoughts on Trump. This is nothing new. He's spoken out before. He said very similar things. Why did they think he wasn't going to do this? Did they think he was going to get out there, or did they say, so if he bashes Trump, it'll get us a little more press?
I think they were a little stunned that he used the F word.
Twice,
yes. I think they were a little stunned by that.
But they couldn't have been stunned of his statements.
No, but there were other people who accepted awards, like Nathan Lane, who indicated their displeasure with Trump, but they did it in a classy way.
Exactly. But,
you know.
But De Niro has never been classy.
De Niro was unhinged. Look at the guy. He looks like a complete lunatic these days.
Yeah, but doesn't Broadway... That doesn't look... They all got up. 40-second standing ovation of the entire crowd.
I thought that was wrong, too.
That's a little odd to me. I mean, okay.
Yeah, but...
Okay, we agree, we don't agree.
Yeah,
okay,
move on.
You know, he's not a big fan of the arts. He didn't show up at the Kennedy Center Honors. Whatever you want to say, you can make a statement and move on. But 40-second standing ovation because he dropped the F-bomb?
Well,
didn't make the Broadway community look so hot either.
No, but they then came to regret that because, as I said... De Niro's antics overshadowed all the winners and Broadway shows. They need that attention so they can sell tickets. And all the headlines were about De Niro and Trump. So.
Okay, and I know you were bashing De Niro, but I just have to say my husband, who is the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan out there, was not happy with you, Michael Riedel.
Why?
And you bashing
Bruce?
Bruce's performance.
Performance was terrible. He was there for 10 minutes.
He thought it was awesome.
And I grew up in a hometown in New Jersey, and I went to the bar.
Just have to let you know, some people like it.
I have cousins, and I have relatives, and maybe I'll play a song, but not for another 10 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Discuss my life in Freehold, New Jersey, and play four notes over and over again.
He did play four notes.
Hey, Maritza, you want to change your opinion of the new guy? I mean, he's like droning on and on like a drunken sailor here.
She's from Jersey. She might be a Bruce fan too.
Yeah. Probably is. Hey, this Penn story is hilarious, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So just before Kim Jong-un was about to sign his little statement with Trump, one of his staffers wearing white gloves, a security aide, grabbed the pen and wiped it down. He did. Well, this, I'm sure there's a good reason for this, because I'm sure Kim Jong-un has a lot to fear from the people who love him, but who may also want to assassinate him. They probably thought there could be poison on that pen.
How would he think that? Because he's probably used that technique on some of his people. So
he has.
He knew the drill.
He knows how it goes. But then he didn't even get to use that pen.
The guy comes out and wipes the pen down with a white glove.
He wipes the pen down. But Kim Jong-un didn't use that pen because his sister, who was standing near him, she pulled a pen out of her pocket and handed him the pen. That pen to him.
Did you see the video? I watched the whole thing. Well, the president prepared a whole video. It was like a travelogue movie preview. Go check it out on our website at 710wr.com/LennonMichael. But he played this for Kim on his iPad.
Destiny Pictures presents a story of opportunity. A new story. A new beginning. One of peace. Two men. Two leaders. One destiny. A story about a special moment in time when a man is presented with one chance that may never be repeated. What will he choose? To show vision and leadership? Or not?
What's that sound effect?
It's like
a movie trailer.
Is that a helicopter or something like that? It was like a movie.
Anyway, it went on for a couple of minutes. It was very slickly produced. I watched the whole thing, and obviously playing to Kim Jong-un's ego and showing the economy booming and building booming, and he could be the leader of all this. And
It worked. It worked.
Well, what worked?
The video. He showed him the video.
But there's no deal. There's no agreement.
Oh, no.
There's
here
no
we go.
Denuclearization.
Oh, no, no. Okay.
Get back to me. I'm working with Chuck Schumer here. Get back to me when they denuclearize with 100% verification.
Okay.
And then I'll give them the Nobel Peace Prize.
Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll get it tomorrow.
But you have to see the video, because honestly, it's some video. All the North Koreans are smiling and waving. Have you ever seen that?
It's really,
where did they find this footage?
They show black and white of unhappy North Koreans, and then they have the color footage of happy North Koreans. And Kim Jong-un could be the leader who makes it all happen.
He will, trust me. Don't go away. Rudy, you're cheating heart. Rudy was having some fun without Judy up there in New Hampshire. We'll get into that when we come back. And was Donald Trump Jr. meeting another Kim? A foxy one? All that is coming up. We created iHeartRadio so you can put us in your pocket and take us everywhere you go. Your favorite station, music, podcasts, and more for free. Everywhere you go. Bringing radio to every part of your life, wherever you live. You can stream our station on your phone, laptop, and on over 200 other devices like Alexa, Google Home, Sonos, Roku, and hundreds more. And now let's check in on all those hundreds of cars out there with Bernie Biter in the traffic.
10 WOR.
7:54, the president tweets, the U.S. together with Mexico and Canada just got the World Cup. That's for 2026. Congratulations, a great deal of hard work. Although the U.S. men's soccer team just announced if they win the World Cup, they're not going to go to the White House. So,
you're kidding, right?
Little joke. He also, not too good, huh? Also, he just tweeted as well, very, very short and sweet tweets. Nothing long. He said, oil prices are too high. OPEC is at it again. Not good.
Uh-oh. Could be taken on OPEC now. There you are.
Let's go to war with OPEC.
He may have only one friend left in the world, Kim Jong-un.
There's his buddy.
That's right.
Rudy, huh? You love the Rudy story?
I do.
It's unbelievable.
74 years old, and he's cheating.
Well, who do you blame? Do you blame 74-year-old Rudy Giuliani, who allegedly was having an affair with 53-year-old Maria Rosa Ryan? Do you blame the mayor? What's with her? What is she doing with him? I'm worried about this Maria Rosa Ryan. Don't they have a dating service where she lives in New Hampshire?
Well, you know, Rudy still has some charisma. He's on television all the time, I suppose.
Rudy looks like he's deranged.
They had dinner together in the hunt room at this resort. And afterward, she went back to the room with him.
No, it was a private screening room, apparently, where they watched the movies.
Yeah, The Godfather.
Yeah, I think they had a private screen. They watched Godfather and Godfather 1. Well, those movies are turn-ons. You know, Rudy has all the moves. I'm telling you, when the horse is cut off, the horse's head is put in the I get Randy over that one. I'll tell you.
But a waitress told the New York Post the woman went back to his room with him. We were all really surprised because he is getting on in years, and she was quite a bit younger than he is. We were like,
So maybe they saw the movie after or later.
Now Judy Nathan, of course, is suing him for divorce.
Right. Now she's claiming this is before they separated. Giuliani's claiming they were already effectively separated when he had this little tryst
with
Hampshire hospital administrator. Natalie is very suspect here.
You know what?
He's been
you never know what's going on in someone's personal life. But Judy Nathan knows about his cheating past because she was the other woman when he was married to Donna Hamill.
Donna.
So a cheating.
So come on.
So Judy Nathan cheated with him.
Right. So, what was she expecting? Do you think things change a lot like that?
So a cheating leper does not change his spots.
Not often.
When did Rudy Giuliani become such a sex pot? Are you kidding me? All these women want to have sex with this guy? I mean, I'd want to take a shower.
Well, come on. We all know that it's about power and money and all that
really?
Great stuff.
That's what you
of
women like? Power and money?
There are a lot of women that are attracted to that. There's no doubt about it.
But I want to go back to this. So you think that Judy Nathan should have known all along that sooner or later Rudy was going to cheat because he cheated on his first wife with her?
I'm not going to say it happens all the time, but it always has to be in the back of your mind. It has to be. You know that he's done this before.
You don't think men can reform?
I think they can, but don't you think that the woman's always going to be thinking about that?
Yeah, probably.
Definitely.
Do you think his reputation as America's mayor has in any way been tarnished over the years?
Oh, absolutely.
Rudy, come back to us, Rudy. What happened to this guy? I don't know.
I don't know. He seems a little unhinged when you see him on television.
A little, with his eyes bulging.
But apparently he still got away with the ladies.
Obviously.
I got to use that.
Really?
Good thing he didn't show Godfather 3, because that's a terrible movie. That's not a turn-on.
One
and two will do it, but Godfather 3 doesn't work.
I have some advice for Maria Rosa Wright. I know she's not Jewish, but try J-Date Maria. Anything. anything's got to be better than
Rudy.
She lives in New Hampshire. How many Jews are up in New Hampshire?
No, I said she's not Jewish, but she's got to have a better
Match.com. E-Harmony. There's tons.
Yeah, go find them.
So, is she cute?
What does it matter?
There's a picture here. She looks like Cher.
Stop.
The lesbians in the Uber were cuter.
But
they're also younger, too.
They were.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want her in my Uber. I'm sticking with the lesbians.
So what do you make of Linda Stacey at the Daily News? You see what she wrote?
No, what did she say? I know Linda.
You know Linda. Well, yeah. It turns out that Donald Trump Jr. is dating Kimberly Guilfoyle of Fox News.
Yeah.
And Linda writes that Fox should fire Kimberly Guilfoyle. She can't possibly stay neutral while dating a Trump kid.
Well, wait a minute. Kimberly Guilfoyle has never been neutral. She's always been a pro-Trumper. She's always been a Republican. She's represented that point of view on those Fox shows since she's signed with the network.
But when you look at her, and she says anything positive about the Trump, and you're saying, well, she's having a little fun with Donnie Jr. So I question her taste, too, but that's a whole other story.
So she says, full disclosure, I'm having an affair with Donald Trump Jr., so take what I say with a grain of salt.
I don't know if she's going to admit it or not. But anyway, that's what Linda Stacey writes. Hey, we're going to go to Canarsie coming up next. We're going to have the latest on that tragic car accident. We have Alice Stockton Rossini there checking out the neighborhood, seeing what the street looks like. She'll report for us. Oh, we also have Mets tickets for you at 8:30. Right now, it's 8 o'clock.